I'm going to begin this morning by sharing from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31. I want you to stay with me because this I kind of tried to dive deeper, and it was very interesting, but you have to stay focused to stay with me. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians 1, 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom does not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we gather together this morning to give you thanks and praise for your greatness. We praise your mighty works in the whole world. We praise you for your wonderful deeds. Your power is limitless, your wisdom is unparalleled, your grace is overwhelming, and your love is never failing. Open our hearts to hear your message this morning. Amen. I had to read and reread and reread again these verses just to really grasp the amazing amount of knowledge that is contained in them. Salvation through the death of someone on a cross was such a foolish thought for many people who were living in Corinth. The church had been torn apart by various groups and spiritual immaturity. The Greeks who were living in Corinth were seeking wisdom and searching for the truth, not so much a religion. The Jewish people living in Corinth had a faith which had become more of a ritual than a religion. There were temples and synagogues and churches, and they were all plagued with numerous problems at the same time. There was moral leniency and a lack of discipline within the townspeople. And Paul had realized they did not fully understand his teaching, that the church was immature, and that allowed the immorality to continue in Corinth. The church was experiencing inaccurate instruction, and there were many divisions occurring. Actually, the list of problems was quite extensive, including instability, envy, lawsuits, sexual immorality, marital difficulties, and misuse of spiritual gifts. And Paul's letter was to help redirect the issues with Christian conduct within the church. The message of the cross to those being saved was life-giving. They recognized the power of God. The message of the cross, kept thinking of the song Me on Your Mind. When he was on the cross, he was thinking of me. He was thinking of you. The message of the cross is life-giving. Those who called it foolishness were dealing with many difficulties in their lives. They held on to the notion that the message of the cross was just cruel and just humiliating. How can he be God? There was teaching going on in two different directions. In verse 19, I read, "For God says, I will destroy all human plans of salvation, no matter how wise they seem to be, and ignore the best ideas of men, even the most brilliant of them." There was no scribe, no debater, no one who could do what Jesus had done. Many highly intelligent people in this world have rejected Jesus. Albert Einstein, who is known as an agnostic, believed the question about God was the most difficult in the world. It was a question that could not be possibly answered with a yes or a no. This is a story that I had read about Albert Einstein in one of his classes. One day a student had asked Albert Einstein and proposed it to the whole class, saying that he had decided that there was no God. And Einstein asked them how much of all the knowledge of this world is amongst they themselves sitting there in that class. And the students talked, highly intelligent. And the students discussed it for a while, and they decided that maybe they had 5% of all human knowledge amongst themselves in his class. And Einstein thought that their estimate was a little generous, but he replied, "Is it possible that God exists in the 95% that you don't know about?" Einstein is famously known for this quote, "Science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind." But we know it goes back to the cross. Paul recognizes that much of the learning by itself is useless for obtaining spiritual wisdom, that God's wisdom is far above that of human wisdom. The Jewish people were looking for a specific miraculous sign of deliverance, and the Greeks were always seeking higher academic answers, philosophical wisdom, and they were all ignoring God's greatness. Even in today's world, some will think of Christ crucified as the downfall of all his teachings. How foolish to lose his teaching through his death. Some view Christ as being weak, that he was permitted to be so humiliated. But we know that Jesus is living on earth with the wisdom of God. The foolishness of the world would not stop God's triumph ever. David Guzik writes that God was at his most foolish and very weakest at the cross. But it was infinitely wiser and stronger than anything man could do. We as believers recognize the death of Jesus on the cross, that it brought influence, splendor, and triumph for the world. A crucified Messiah was a very unexpected way for the holy leader to lose his life. And those who have Christ in their hearts, we who have Christ in our hearts, honor him as the Messiah and our Lord. And we learn to and desire to embrace the cross. The power of the cross is amazing, never ending, life fulfilling. Love. We are to be encouraged to never lose our passion for Jesus. God's plan is to save each of us, save humanity from sin, and lift us to the glory of heaven. Heaven unfolded through Abraham, Moses, David, and through the fulfillment of our Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the most important promises of Scripture is found in 1 John 1:9. It gives us freedom and hope for the future. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has not chosen us as his because we are great and we are awesome. He has chosen us because he is great and we are believing. How blessed we are that he chooses the lost and the struggling. What other words can we use to describe the people that Jesus is blessing? Say it out loud. The lost, the struggling, the weak, the lonely, the poor, those that struggle with addiction, the rejected, the sick. The caring, the loving, the fishermen. Those that have it together. The evidence of God's glory is his choice of the poor, the humble, and the ordinary. Salvation is a process. It is the beginning of a lifelong practice. We're becoming molded to be more like Jesus. We're becoming molded, tested, and tried, and blessed to be more like God. To be more like God, how God wants us to be. We learn of life-giving redemption, a deliverance from sin. Righteousness, the deeds and character of Jesus that are accounted to us. And we learn of life-giving sanctification. As believers, we are to separate from the world and become one with God. We learn all of these things in and through Jesus. God works through us as we become more like Christ. Living the life of a disciple includes many ways of living and many ways of attaining or growing and knowing and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through our lives. I was at a luncheon yesterday with my father, lots of 86-year-olds. They all went to elementary school together and high school, most of them. My father had moved. And one sweet woman just said, I just don't like using this cane. I can't believe that I just don't like, my this hurts and that hurts and my husband's not driving. It's just this. And I just kind of put my arms on her shoulders and said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes, please. And she hugged me and I hugged her. And I just asked that she be covered, blanketed by Jesus' love and that she feel comfortable walking with her cane. And She was just crying. And people who are in pain need to know and need to hear that Jesus loves them. I'm thinking I need to do that more often, right? When somebody complains just or is hurt or needs help and support in some way, just stop. May I pray with you? Something we all can do. God works through us as we become more like Christ. Not that we desire or we're better this than anyone else's, anybody has the skill to offer Jesus to someone else. A healthy disciple will look to bless people with the good news of Jesus Christ because of being deeply concerned about people who are missing the fullness of the life of Christ. They may have Christ in their hearts, but when they look at the news and when they look at this world and when they hear of all the bad things, it becomes difficult to stay faithful, to stay positive. And it takes a toll on people. Maybe we can take it on ourselves this week to pray with someone face to face. A healthy disciple will engage in daily conversation with God that includes praise and repentance, asking and yielding, and are a continual as having those things as a continual part of life. Prayer is a transparent dialogue. It is a conversation with God in which we address Him, and in quiet times we can be addressed by Him. We need to listen. Don't get caught up in daily regimes that just kind of take us away from turning to God, from reading about Him and from praying with Him. Disciples will use and manage well what God has given them and the church. We are so blessed with this precious church, Wellspring Church of Skipback. Disciples will use their time, their skills, and their resources generously. The word is the rule of life for disciples. It is our foundation, knowing and understanding that God is living with us and that we are living the life that that He has created for us to live. It is recognizing that the essence of Scripture is Jesus Christ and that He is our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is the life and power of effective, growing discipleship. Are we fully surrendering and allowing the Holy Spirit to take over everything in our lives? Discipleship is not a spectator sport or a knowledge game. It is engaging in active living, our whole life directed by the Holy Spirit for the glory of the Father, out of obedience and love to Jesus Christ. It means following Him when we don't understand. It means staying with Him. God is all wise, He's in control, and He keeps His promises. Jesus took the punishment of sin on the cross so that we could receive God's grace. In Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, we read, "This is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." Through our salvation, we are able to embrace God and His act of love at Calvary. This is God's plan. This is God's way. Amen. Let us pray. We are so thankful for your love and your ways, dear Lord. May we practice the way of discipleship each day. May we become like Christ and bear more fruit for this world. We know this world needs more of you, God. Please let every action taken and every word shared be in line with your words. Be with each of us this week and grant us peace in our hearts. In your precious name we pray. Amen.